have our seats. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. And this morning, God is good. Is he good? All the time. He is good this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, that we may rejoice and be glad in it. There has never been a day like today. It will not be repeated. So let us rejoice and be glad in the Lord. Let us receive from him all that he has put in store for us today. I thank God for the opportunity to share with you the word of God this morning, and especially this being the climax of our Christian Education Week. I thank God for being given this opportunity to share here at St. Andrew's Church. So thank you, pastoral team. Thank you, session, for giving me this opportunity. I bring you greetings from the head office of our church, where I'm serving, as you've been told, as the Director of Christian Education. All is well, and we keep trusting in the Lord, and we covet your prayers, and we thank you for the prayers that you've been offering so that we can continue pushing on. So all is well at the head office. All is well also in the Christian Education Department. And as we have been reminded here, the verse that guides us is Hosea 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, for lack of knowledge. And so Christian education exists to ensure that knowledge is being passed to God's people at all ages of their lives. Actually, we take care of the span between the womb and the tomb, and we pray that God would help us help God's people transition and move seamlessly through the seasons of life. And so we work at transforming the church, families, relationships, and society through teaching Christ-centered knowledge. And this is broken down into about eight areas, some of which have been mentioned here, but all in all, we are involved in discipleship, because that is what Christ-centered knowledge is all about, so that wherever we are, in whatever stage, in our spheres of influence, wherever God has put us, that we may be Christ ambassadors, disciples, that we may be rooted in Christ, be able to stand firm, and also represent Christ. I want also to encourage us to take this book. I want to say that one of the things that is very good in this book, and thank you very much, Session Clerk, is that this summer notebook that we bring to you gives you an opportunity to read the Word of God in 1 year, the whole Bible. So it has a plan at the end where whichever your day one is, you can read in 364 days, you can go through the whole Bible. And that's what we want, to be rooted in the Word of God. So I also encourage you to take this. This is one of our products as we get discipled, as we get rooted, and as we position ourselves properly to be Christ's ambassadors. We are in the second week of Lent, and the Lenten period is the 40 days that precede the Passion Week. This year, the Lent season commenced on the 26th of February with Ash Wednesday. And actually, we are on day number 12 today. And it will go all the way to 5th of April, which will be Palm Sunday, giving way to the Passion Week. And in this week, as we have been reminded in the bulletins, there are some pillars that we are looking at. One is prayer. Prayer and reflection. This is a season where we are called upon to pray and reflect. We are also called upon to fast. And fasting means self-denial. There are some things we have to let go so that we can let God. Some things that we have to let go in order to focus on God. And as we do this, there is a third one that comes through these two, because prayer is active. Self-denial means also we let go of something. That leads us also to kindness. Kindness or almsgiving. So it's also a time to focus on others as we remove the focus from ourselves, from I, me, and myself, and focus on what God has in store, then God will open our eyes to areas where he would want us to participate in bringing transformation. The Christian education theme this year comes against this backdrop of the Lenten season. And their theme this year has also been adapted from the theme of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which is a theme that is prepared by the World Council of Churches. The Week of Prayer for Christian Unity is normally celebrated every January of every year. This year we gathered as Christians at All Saints Cathedral around here to celebrate the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. And this actually was the theme. So we have adapted part of that theme. And then in the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, the theme, the caption was, they showed us unusual kindness. For us, we are placing it in our lectionary or the journey that we are taking and the Lenten season, and we're looking at how do we continue following Jesus? How do we take up the cross and follow Jesus? The cross being our distinguishing mark as Christians. So this season, before the Passion Week, we're thinking of the cost of discipleship. And one of the ways that we can follow Jesus is in hospitality, is in showing unusual kindness. It's also costly as part of the cost of discipleship. We heard from our Psalm of the Day, or the leading word of the call to worship, Psalm 46. God is our refuge. God is our help. God is ever present with the people. But even having said that, people still go through storms. But I want to put that into context and first of all, define these two simple words, but words that carry a lot of weight. Following Jesus in hospitality, showing unusual kindness. Hospitality is defined simply as the friendly reception and treatment of guests or strangers. It is the quality or disposition of receiving and treating guests and strangers in a warm, friendly, and generous way. Kindness, which is like the other part of the same coin, is the quality of being gentle, caring, and helpful. Being caring or warm in spirit. So it comes from within. We cannot fake it. It means doing something and not expecting anything in return. Just doing it for the sake of kindness, for the sake of being hospitable. In the first reading, Mark 4, verse 35 to 41, we meet Jesus and the disciples. Jesus has just said, let us cross over to the other side. But along the way, they experience stormy weather. But thanks be to God that Jesus is in the boat. Though the disciples thought he looked unconcerned, he was sleeping and resting, is because Jesus was Jesus. And he knew that God is a never-present help, even in times of stormy weather. And Jesus was resting on that assurance. James 1, verse 2, we are encouraged to consider it pure joy whenever, and I like the word whenever, we go through trials, we go through hardships. In other words, when we go through storms. And I got a chance to look at that as well. And we only use whenever when we are referring to repeated events whose dates and times are not certain. So whenever, which means that the book of James is telling us that indeed, from time to time, we shall come through challenges. We shall come through storms whenever we are supposed to count it as joy. There are many crossing overs in life, the life that we're living in. Life itself is a journey. And in this journey, there are many other journeys that we undertake. Journeys that are personal, journeys that are in the family, journeys that are in business, journeys that are in the country together, many, many journeys. There are many crossing overs. And in all this, we shall indeed face storms. But thanks be to God, because in Mark 4, Jesus calms the storm, and it's because he was present. My prayer and our prayer is that Jesus would be present in our lives. Jesus would be present in our families. Jesus would be present in our careers. Jesus would be present in our country, so that whenever, as we are crossing, as we are going over, as we are following our dreams, as we are pursuing the purpose for which we were created, whenever we've come across storms, then we can have a place to fall back to. We can have one who will speak peace to the storms. May the Lord help us. So Jesus in this boat is a symbol of hope and encouragement. In this Lenten season and beyond, and in this Christian Education Week and beyond, God is looking for vessels. God is looking for people who will be symbols of encouragement, giving hope, giving encouragement, letting people know that it is well. People who will be present with the others, present with colleagues, present with family members, present as we go through this journey that is at times very, very stormy. In Acts 28, we meet Paul. And the story begins earlier. I would want you to go and read from Acts 27. Paul is in the company of 276 people. He's amongst the 276 in this ship. They have gone through all manner of experiences in the high seas, almost lost their lives, just like we go through different experiences in this life. Remember, Paul is in chains. He's in chains. So he himself has his personal storms together with a few others in the ship. And then, as if that was not enough, they experience a very, very stormy journey. Yet, even in these circumstances, the mission of God still continues through Paul, himself in a storm, but is a symbol of encouragement. He still gives hope to the people. So the 276 people on board are at the mercies of the forces of the seas. Eventually, these forces take them into unknown and familiar territory, where they are lost and they are without hope. It is quite remarkable that in this tempest, Paul still stands out as the center of peace in the midst of this turmoil. When people are unwilling to eat because they are so troubled, he tells them, take heart. When they feel really they are desperate, he tells them, just be calm. It's going to be well. We might lose property and everything that we are carrying, but God will save our lives. So these 276, through God's providence, survived the storm and the shipwreck, and they landed at the island of Malta. They didn't know where they were. They are no longer at the mercy of the indifferent forces, but are now embraced by God's loving providence, made present through a people who show them unusual kindness. These people arrive cold, wet, hopeless, traumatized. But because of the hospitality of the people in Malta, they can now warm themselves, dry themselves, because the Maltans made a fire for them. They can now feed well because the people on the island were kind enough to give them food. And that is why in our key verse, the main verse, Acts 28 verse 2, it's recorded. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Unusual kindness. Following Jesus in hospitality. So these people, the 276, are sheltered until it is safe for them to continue on their journey. In fact, as they were leaving, they were given supplies by the people so that their journey forward would be smoother, would be more bearable. In our present world, indeed, many people are passing through equally dangerous high seas. It's as if we are going through very stormy weather in the many experiences that we go through. Kenya, we are not new to the idea of hosting refugees because we are home to one of the biggest refugee camps. We know that people make dangerous journeys. We read and we know of the many journeys people make through the sea. Some don't make it as they look for refuge in other countries. We have forces, social, political, economic, human, that appear like storms that push God's people, young and old, rich and poor, into stormy seas, and many times. And we end up finding ourselves in very unfamiliar and unknown territories. Hence the call from our Lord Jesus Christ, this Lenten season and beyond, to reconsider our hospitality, to reconsider our kindness. When people are affected and go through sicknesses and diseases, we know about the coronavirus that is pushing the world into very unfamiliar territories. We have never gone this way before. China has never gone through this way before. All the other countries have not gone through this way before. That is a storm that is pushing the ship into unfamiliar territories. Cancer, hypertension, diabetes, all these are journeys. In our crossing overs to the other side, we experience these storms. Mental illnesses and disorders, family conflicts, breakups, issues with parenting, retrenchments, difficult economic times, political upheavals, like BBI, pushing us into some unfamiliar territories. Emotional issues that are driving people to suicides, homicides, and such. All these things leave God's people traumatized, cold, wet, hopeless, lonely, and lost. These are unfamiliar territories. And even positive things in life can drive us into unfamiliar territories, like rising up the ladder, where you find yourself up there feeling cold and lost without very many friends, all these things. And it's at this time that we need people around us to show hospitality, to show unusual kindness. In our story with Paul and the 276, we find that after the traumas and the conflicts of the storm at sea, the practical care that was offered to them by the islanders was experienced by Paul and colleagues as an unusual kindness. Such kindness demonstrates our common humanity. The gospel teaches us that when we care for those in distress, we are showing love to Christ himself. Matthew 25, verse 40. Furthermore, when we show loving kindness to the weak and dispossessed, we are attuning our hearts to the heart of God, in which the poor, and poor is wide, have a special place. Welcoming outsiders, whether they be people of other ethnic backgrounds, cultures, or beliefs, immigrants or refugees, homeless, the downtrodden, is both to love Christ himself and to love as God loves. Mahatma Gandhi said, "There is enough rice in the world for all of us, but there is not enough rice to satisfy greed and corruption. The medicine for the things that we experience in corruption and such is actually hospitality and kindness, where we do things not expecting anything in return, where we have caring and warm, where we are very caring and warm in our spirits, where we have the quality of being gentle and very helpful to others at all times. Hospitality and kindness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And please note, it's the fruit, not fruits. So the 9 parts make the fruit, and kindness is one of them. We cannot claim to follow Jesus, to love Jesus, if we are not kind, if we are not hospitable to others. Hospitality, and you can look through the Bible, I don't have time to give all the examples in the Bible. It has a blessing for the giver, for the one who is hospitable, as well as for the one receiving the hospitality. When Abraham welcomed the strangers, they showed them hospitality. It just took 1 year, and his story and that of Sarah was changed. When the Zarephath widow showed hospitality to the man of God, out of luck, that meant she had a supply through the season of famine. Hospitality is a blessing. When we are hospitable, when we are kind, we are not losers. We are actually receivers. Bible promises that when we give, we actually receive the same measure. The same measure of what we give, hospitality and kindness, we receive the same measure, shaken together, pressed down, and overflowing. A measure of hospitality given back to us and kindness given back to us. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So God is calling us this morning, in this Lent season, in this year, as we continue reflecting on the theme of Christian education, God is calling us to step out in faith and reach out with God's all-embracing love, even to those we find difficult to love. It's a message that is personal. It's a message that we need to have in our families. It's a message that should be national, na ifikie our politicians as well. It's a message that we need to embrace. And for us adults, it's a message that we need to model for children and the youth, so that we can grow up to be a community, a society that thinks beyond ourselves, a society that is hospitable, very welcoming, and very kind. May the Lord help us. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you because you are a hospitable God. Your kingdom is about hospitality. For you to welcome us, people who are unworthy, to be your people, to be your servants, it is the highest measure of hospitality. Through the same hospitality, Jesus came, gave up his life for us. And through hospitality, you have continued to renew your mercies and faithfulness each and every morning. What can we repay you, Lord, for all this goodness and kindness? May you help us in return to be agents that give hope, give encouragement, that we be vessels that will stand and be used of you in the presence of storms and turmoil, in our families, in our society, in our workplaces, and even in this country. That is the only way that we can repay you, Lord, for all the goodness that you've shown unto us. So help us, God. Help us moving forward in this Lent season. Help us moving forward in the year 2020. For indeed, we have not walked this way before. So we trust you that even as we come through storms, you will calm the storms and you'll also use us to be vessels of transformation. This we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.